At California Psychics, we know that sometimes you can wake up thinking,
ugh, I don't know if I'm in the right career. Ew. Or the right relationship.
But whatever your life dilemma, at California Psychics, we'll give you the guidance you need to feel certain about your life choices. And because we only connect you with the very best, we guarantee if your reading isn't life-changing, it's free. California Psychics. Call 1-800-PREDICT today and get 20 minutes for just
$20. All right. Okay.
A development over the commercial break.
We do have a development. All right, so here's what's going on. Ozzy has passed away, if you're just joining the program. 76 years old. We found out this morning. If you've been listening to the radio station all day, we've been playing nothing but Ozzy. We've been trying to dig to find an interview. Then
we couldn't find it because we did it so long ago. It's no longer in our computerized archives, right? That's been the long and short of it.
But Adrian just sent us a link.
Who is Adrian, your son? Just a listener to the show.
Now, as Ted will attest, we don't know exactly what is on this.
Nope.
There's a chance we might have to dump out, depending on if this is an edited version or not.
I've only got so much here that I can dump.
We're really not sure. But we're going to try to play as much as we can, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so...
I heard one that's already questionable, so I'm going to be honest.
If it's that bad, then we could dump out of it. Entirely.
Yeah. But look, we got it. We got to play it.
We can at least post it on the website. Whatnot.
Yeah. Sure. Well, let's see how far we get along before we need
okay.
to dump. Because even if we get 3 minutes out of this, and then we have to dump whatever we have, then, you know, we'll talk amongst ourselves and see if we can reset the
interview. Also keep in mind, there's probably a language we might have used then that we would not use.
That's where I was going with that.
Oh,
right.
Man.
Okay.
That's ego. Listen, honest to God, this guy just hit us up during the break, said, look, guys, hey guys, I heard you couldn't find this interview, so I did some digging and some magic. I hope you got it. Please confirm.
Well, it is in the last 5 minutes.
Right. So it's not like we've had time to review this.
No.
But we're just like, well, let's just.
But we do have a dump button. If we have to, we're going to dump out. Okay?
Yeah.
Just understand if this interview comes to a stop, it's because Ted said something really bad.
That's right.
We don't know when this is from, but this is Ozzy in studio. So here you go.
I want you guys to be ready. This is going to be jarring. You ready for this?
Smiles and Thrill, the men's room, 99.9 KISW. Ozzy Osbourne in studio. Prince of Darkness arrives in Seattle on a bus.
Yeah, I mean, it's good fun, you know, because, I mean, I don't drink or get messed up anymore in the bus.
Right.
Just watch TV for the 90,000 hours.
Well, you're giving yourself a little bit of time in between shows on this tour.
Oh, yeah, I did notice that.
So you have a little time to rest.
Me doing like 3 or 4 on the runnies. It's not good.
You've been out for what seems like 10 years now on the road. You know, Ozfest, continually going strong.
Ozfest's been going, I think, I might be wrong, 13 or 14 years.
Which is insane.
I keep saying to my wife, I'm like, darling, how long do you think it's going to go on for? And she looks at me like a pathetic little puppy dog and goes, darling, we'll know.
Yeah. But I guess it's got to be nice to be out with the new album. And now the focus is kind of like, I know you went through the thing with the Osbournes and everything else, but now it's kind of back to the music, and the music is successful.
I never really took that thing out of the Osbournes on, you know. I mean, I just did what they asked me to do and accept the cameras. At first, it was a bit of fun, you know, but then after it became mega, it became like any other job, you know. I mean, They would wait for me. Every day, I'd get up and I'll make a coffee, I'll make a protein drink. And they were waiting. They're there every day with the camera, waiting for you to drop something or scold them.
Right, or do something stupid, and then they put that on.
So, the whole thing I think about the Osbournes is the fact that it was edited brilliantly. I've never watched more than 2 episodes, because I just don't like to see myself on TV.
Now, are you selling that house or all the contents of the house? It is gone. Now, is
the
that
contents of a few houses that I've bought over the years.
Now, I know there's
an auction coming up, right?
Yeah. Now, most of your stuff, you guys are auctioning off. And it's all for Sharon's colon cancer program.
No, it's all for that. Some of it goes to
the goes to that, and some Cedars Sinai Medical Center as well. I'm looking at the list of stuff. Did you approve half this stuff getting sold out?
No.
Okay, you did not. I did. The only thing that I noticed that looks like, I can see you're not going to ride four-wheelers anymore, and I think we know why.
The red ones, the one I had the accident on.
And how many broken bones, collarbone?
Come here.
Uh-oh.
Ooh, what the hell is that?
I think it's the hinge off the door.
That's nuts. It's like your collarbone isn't connected anymore.
Yeah, no, it's all messed up. I mean, I did a good job. 3 miles an hour.
Yeah. Well, you know, you did a lot
of damage. I've pulled up buildings. I've fallen downstairs. I've done everything. But I've always said when I go, it'll be like, how's the other one that I died today? A bird crapped on his head. Yeah.
It was payback.
Yeah. It's a dove.
That's right. A dove ends it.
Now, there was one thing I've got to say. Sharon goes to me. A few years ago, she had a tall table, can carved and that for me. I hope you're not selling my pool table. She says, well, you don't play it anymore. I says, no, because you keep putting it in storage because you want more furniture in the house. I'm on the road a lot, but I'd like to keep my pool table for later on. She said, well, okay. I'll pick up the catalogue. Second page, pool table.
No, I see it. It's right here. It's a beautiful pool table. I can't believe it. Here it is right here, Steve. Look at that.
That is a sweet pool table, man.
I said to Sharon, I said, why did you do that without telling me? She goes, well, I'm having a good day. Jack's just got on me for me selling some of his stuff. I said, Sharon, how would you like it if me and Jack sold your 80 pairs of your 2,000 pairs of shoes?
Sure. Well, this is the one. This was the only thing that's disturbing to me is you have a den at your home in California. Yeah. It's kind of like your man room, I guess. You've got a bunch of collectibles and stuff like that. But it really looks like your wife is getting rid of your man room.
That's exactly.
You know what I'm saying? It looks like
she's cleaning out the house, man.
This is like all the stuff that you've collected, I guess, like antique guns and stuff like that. And I think that's all gone, just to let you know. Hopefully you won't get pissed off about that.
I think she's selling half your house.
Mouth's starting to fight.
I know, he's about to get pissed now.
Can we call her?
wait, which house is that?
That's the house in Malibu.
Oh, yeah, Malibu, yeah, that's right. I never used to go down there. So
well, how many homes do you have? Jesus God.
About 7, I think.
Okay, jeez. Now, do you really have a home in Switzerland that's a suicide flat? Or not a suicide flat, but what was the name of it? It's like if you were to ever get sick, that you guys have a place in Switzerland or something like that? Or was that?
I read it earlier. It's just it's kind of like, oh, come on, Ozzy. I don't know. I was Googling your name.
That's awesome. He looks it up. I was just like, what the hell?
I don't know.
Somewhere in Switzerland. Why not? I've got a place everywhere else.
Yeah, exactly. All right. Let's see here. The last quote that we have read before you started going out on tour was Sharon talking about your sex life. Were you aware that she was discussing this in the public?
No, because I do. What sex life?
Well, do you remember the exact quote on it? It was something, the analogy of...
Apparently, you won't leave her alone. Basically, your wife said that you, my friend, are like the horniest son of a bitch in the world, and that, like, you won't stop poking her, prodding her, and, you know, getting it on.
I wouldn't mind, but I mean, I'm on Zoloft, which makes your sex drive die. I don't want to piss and bury my... It's great. I say to my fellows, I go, this is ridiculous. I'm married for 25 years. I can't get it on anymore. He goes, well, I'm afraid. I said, you may be a single guy, but I ain't. Have you got like a... Well, I'm on the old antidepressants, but couldn't you put a little bit of an excitement pill in there with it? You know?
Well, yeah.
Because I don't drink. I don't smoke cigarettes.
What about like Viagra, man? I mean, yeah.
Viagra, happy ending, you know. That, like, eye twitcher.
That's the...
And a big headache to go with it.
Yeah, exactly.
But do you think you're on more drugs now that they prescribed them to you, or you're more
drugs when
you were doing your thing?
I was taking about 40-something pills every 4 hours.
Like the medical pills?
Yeah, this is the only country I've ever been to. Well, you're watching a TV show and you go, try Vicodin. Well, you know, I advertise, like, I was depressed until this man come on. Advertise drugs on the television, you know.
No free healthcare, man. That's how that works. Sell you everything. If you got any restless leg syndrome, you name it, I got a drug for it.
I've had that for years. I keep running off stage.
Now, you're going to be on this tour up until, I guess, what, Ozfest 2008?
Oh, I don't know.
I mean, do you find out last what's going on in your life?
Seattle now. I ain't got nothing to do. And Tony goes, we go to a radio station. I said, I went on the way, I did two radio stations. I mean, but, you know, it's good fun. Better than, it could be, I mean, at least I've sort of remained sober. I don't know how I did it. All in the, with the amount of dope and booze.
Well, this is the Black Rain. The first album you've written, not stoned. Right?
I didn't write it all on my own. I had to come to a decision whether I was, if I couldn't do it sober, whether I would drink, whether to drink or just throw the towel in. And I didn't want it anymore. You know, I thought, sober. If that's the case, then I'll. But so I spoke to somebody who was on the recovery program, and I says, you know what, you're surrounded by four or five other guys, ask for help. And Kevin Shirker was great, the producer guy.
There's a couple political songs on there about the political state of the world.
Yeah,
right,
you know, you listen to all the old Black Sabbath, War Pigs, there was a lot of, I mean, it's not just a modern, a latest thing I've done. I've been singing the lyrics about, the, you know.
But
I think for a long time.
Ironically enough, you had Dinner with the President back in 2002. Yeah. You were invited to the White House.
Met the Queen.
That's right. And
so she said to me, she goes to me, "Ew." So this is what we call variety, is it?
The Queen said,
"That's
ew."
The Queen.
Yeah.
That's got to be nice. You know what I mean? Yeah. Your whole life, you know this person. She's, you know.
See, what's weird about it? When you actually see the Queen. In England, you see on money, on stamps, on postal orders. Every day she's in the paper. But you to sit in her, stand there in her presence, it's like weird, you know, because it's like you're so used to seeing her.
Sure.
But then it's like a picture walking around the room, you know.
I guess so.
I can't really say what it's like because I can't. I don't know what to say.
Do you ever think that people look at you the same way? I mean, people grew up with the man. We have people talking today because they grew up on Sabbath. And everyone mm-hmm. follows a solo career. And you're a guy whose face was everywhere when you were going crazy. We saw that all the time. It did the Osbournes all over the place. And now, if you walk down the street, man, people go crazy because you're Ozzy Osbourne.
But I'm glad that Sharon always says to me, you know, if the day they stop asking for autographs and photographs, it's the time you got to worry.
Yeah,
you know, I mean, to be honest with you, the reason why I still do it is because I have a great time most of the time playing shows and seeing that audience. It's kind of like now I see like a whole family's come, you know.
How weird is that?
It's, I don't know, I mean, it's kind of like I started and I never used to, I couldn't see but further than the fourth row.
Sure.
So, and all the kids at the front, it's kind of like, The fans haven't gone any older, but I have.
Right.
I mean, I've always said that if they stopped wanting to see me, I wouldn't go drop down to a club and a bar and do gigs like that. I just call it a day, you know.
As far as our question today, we're talking about the first concert. Do you remember the first show that you ever saw in England? Did you go
the
to
first
pubs?
Show I saw?
Yeah, just as a child. Something that was kind of inspiring to you as far as...
I saw
as
Jimi Hendrix perform at a place called Woburn Abbey in 1966 or 7. And when he got... I've said this to a lot of people. If nobody had heard of Jimi Hendrix, if it was to get discovered today, he would still blow the place to bits.
Really?
I mean, the guy had this magic aura with him. It was like, mind you, I just took a lot of acid, so...
Well, so did Jimmy, I'm sure.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's why I got you in 66.
We had this like, transcendental connection.
Was that it? Was that the only time you actually had a run-in with him or saw him?
Oh, yeah, I mean, he didn't run for too much longer.
Right. Yeah, it's... Is there, you said you were kind of awestruck by the Queen. Has there been anybody like that, Hendrix or Queen, or somebody who just sat there and it was just strange to be around them or to be in their presence?
Well, it's my thing that most people that I like throughout my life, we all go, oh, what about this like that, but he's like that, and she's like that, and whatever, you know. And so I like to, you've got a choice, either, just, when you meet them, just... say something to them, and they say, you know, something like, get that, get lost. Sort of, and then,
right.
And you think, well, I spent 20 to 50 years ago thinking this guy was, I'd like to give people their space. I mean, I met Paul McCartney a bunch of times now, and he's such a nice guy.
Really
nice guy.
How about the Beckhams when they moved to L.A.? Did they call you up for David Beckham? And
Here's what we're going to do. We need to take a commercial break. We've got a little bit more of this interview. We want you to hear it, okay?
So what did you think of what you've heard? Because keep in mind,
I definitely know that my voice has changed a lot in 17 years.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, honestly, I was a kid. It took me a second to be like, is that Miles?
Honestly, God, there are a few questions you asked. I'm like, that's a Miles-style question, but that can't be Miles.
Hey, kids, don't smoke.
Yeah, that's what happened. Ted, to your credit, you sound exactly the same. I hear you snickering in the background. I'm like, I actually checked to see if our mics were on now. I'm like, is Ted laughing? No. Ted has always laughed that
much. How much time we have left on this thing?
We got a little bit, about 10 minutes left on that.
Okay, so let's just take a break, come back, and more with Ozzy Osbourne right after these. Ozzy Osbourne passed away, 76 years of age today. So we're celebrating all day today on The Rock. By the way, we've already played half of an Ozzy interview we did back in 2007.
Again, we could not get our hands on it, but an astute listener of ours, Adrian, I don't know what magic he worked, but he found it, dug it up, and sent it to us.
So keep in mind, if you're joining us now and you want to hear the whole thing, obviously the Odyssey app has all the podcasts and everything else, so check that out if you want to hear the thing in full. Again, as we said before we started this thing, we are hearing it for the first time since we did the interview.
Since 2007. That's correct.
There's a chance that we might have to dump out of this based on language and other things that we know that happened. Not sure which time they happened, but if for some reason...
It happened at least once. Mike was on it. Right. And it was early in the interview. Ozzy just came out fine.
Well, there's other conversations I remember that are...
Some words that were acceptable back then.
I'm like, I'll be dead. I was like, I might have missed one on that original one.
Well, it's hard enough to even understand him if he is cussing half the time.
That's the problem.
Right. So,
and to answer those questions, this is Miles Thrill and Ted here doing this. I know there's a lot of people like, who's interviewing Ozzy? And here's like, it's these
mostly
guys.
Look, man, 17 years of smoking.
Well, 17 years of anything, your voice is going to change as you get older.
That is exactly what happened.
Right. Yeah.
But it is funny to listen to. The only person who sounds the same is Ted, who doesn't smoke. So,
but
smokes a weed.
We continue on as much as we can with the interview with. Ozzy Osbourne, so roll it, I guess.
How about the Beckhams when they moved to L.A.? Did they call you up for David Beckham and Paul?
I went to their house in England for the English World Cup or a European Cup team.
Oh, right.
They only played one game and lost.
That was the last game.
But he's a nice... He kept sending me football boots before I'd met him, and I said to him...
I'm not Rod Stewart.
He goes, I said to him, why do you keep sending me football boots? He goes, well, I didn't know what else to send you. Okay. So if you ever need a pair, give me a call.
Ozzy, word on the street is, we don't know if this is true or not, but last year on Ozfest, someone told us, we know who it was, Ted, that Zach Wilde... never changed his kilt, and I guess the entire tour.
Or shower.
That's for one tour.
Is that true?
I did a show with him when I went at the Sabbath reunion, and he had Black Label Society in Milton Keynes in England. I never saw him for a whole year. And I run into him, and he goes, you know what? I haven't showered since Milton Keynes.
Could you smell him, though?
Oh, I mean, if you open the window here, you smell him in town tonight. I go, why don't you shower? He goes, chicks like it. I said, but you're married. Oh, yeah. Well, it was that bad. When you made a telephone call to him, you could smell him.
Yeah.
As I say, we had him in, and you could smell him then.
When he gets well and truly crutch ripe.
Oh.
What is it with the man? Does he just always kind of smell?
I mean, Zach's just great, you know. I mean, he's cheap to have on the tour because he doesn't cost you nothing to keep him clean, you know.
He probably just takes one duffel bag and he's off.
He's road, he's to piss anyone who wants to shower.
I mean, it's his roots. He's from Jersey.
I mean,
when I used to go out there and get messed up all the time, what would make me feel a little bit human the next day was a shower.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, I'd go, when I was a little dead, shower, and it would like spark me up for a few minutes, you know.
What are you surprised that, you know, you've been playing with Zach for over 20 years now, I want to say. Mm. I mean, that's a long time to play with anybody, man. And most bands don't make that long solo
career. But he's like, it's kind of like, he goes his way, I go my way. Then the fans write and said, why are you doing this? And so, I mean, he's like, I was going to say a son, because if he was my son, I'd throw him in the trough. But he's a good guy, man, underneath all this. So he's a really good guy, and he's a great guitar player.
Yeah.
I mean, he can play. He's playing. He's been so good.
Out on the road now with Rob Zombie, and in preparation of Ozfest 2008. Rumor is that there could be a Sabbath reunion. Is that still something that's just out there?
Yeah, well, I always get asked the same question, but the truth of the matter is we have tried to do an album, you know, along the way, but I'm kind of gun-shy with it, because when we all broke up and went our own, they fired me and that, and Bill left and whatever, and we've come back together and played them old songs, I'll kind of, after all this time, if we don't do an album way superior, or as, you know, as where we left off, or at the same level, anything lower than that, it's going to be a big, you know.
Right,
so
right.
I'd rather, it's like when you see a sequel to The Godfather, you know.
And you're like,
and then
the
last one sucks.
Oh, Godfather 3 is awful.
Godfather 2 is good.
Yeah. 2's good, 3 sucks, man.
Oh, yeah, and same as Jaws. Have you ever heard of the shark?
Sure. What are they doing in the Caribbean?
I mean,
in 3D.
I've got to tell you something. If I knew there was a great white out there waiting for me to get my ass in the water, I'd move and live on a mountain.
Right.
What do you think? In Switzerland.
Yeah.
It ain't supplying, doesn't it? That's what it's stupid.
What do you think about the Zeppelin reunion? Will they?
I think it's great, but if they, I mean, They were very a monumental band, you know. I mean, John Bonham was was one of the finest drummers I ever met. He was a great drummer. I mean, but Jason is his son. He's very, very good, you know. But I think that's the closest you're going to get to Zeppelin, having Jason Bonham play them, because his father taught him how to play.
And as you said, 200 million people or something like that.
It's kind of like, I don't know, I mean, if they all get on and click it together. I don't know. I've met them all over the years. And I don't know.
Do you think they'll have the same sound? As, like you just said, like Jaws 4, Jaws 5. Can they come out and sound like Led Zeppelin after not playing for that long? And we know that Page of Plan.
Well, I know. That's the whole problem with Sabbath, you know. It's like We've all changed bodily, physically, and mentally. You know, we're not the crazy bunch of guys. And I was with Jimmy Page a short while ago, and he's clean, sober, and everything. You know.
Well, that's how you wrote this album, and to me,
I mean, I didn't write it on my own. I just kind of worked it out with the band, and Zach came up with all the riffs.
But I tell you what, as far as the sound of the album, it's one of the best Aussie sounds. Yeah, man. I mean, it just rips.
I mean, I keep hearing people going, Pro Tool is no good for... You better explain to the people out there what Pro Tool is.
It's an electronic editing device where you go in and you can loop stuff and everything else.
And guitar should be done on analog. I just, you know, I mean, but how you can make a Pro Tool sound like analog.
Right, right.
And so I just said, screw that. I mean, I did it in a room not much bigger than this.
So did the band play together? Was everything recorded?
Oh, yeah.
So you, I mean...
I've got a drum room. Most guitar work is done in a control room now.
Yeah,
the amp stack's in another room.
I would have to think vocally it's much easier to do stuff when the band is there.
I mean, in the old days, when they used to go, we got to do an edit. And that was like the rest of the day off, so you get something in the bar. You know? it's weird when the guy goes, we just got to do this edit, click, click, and it's done. You know?
Sure.
It's like 2 seconds. I mean, it's a bit of a bummer.
any surprises for the show Thursday night? This tour is you and Rob Zombie. Have you got anything different planned?
It's some of the stuff you've heard on the Ozfest, but some other songs that I haven't played. Like, I believe I'm doing Fire in the Sky off No Rest for the Wicked. But I don't want to tell you too
much. Right, exactly, sure.
You gotta go.
But, I mean, I can't come off the asbestos and do exactly the same show.
Sure. How hard is it for you to get up there and your songs just rip through one after another? How tiring is that to get up there and do a full set?
I try and work out, but the saying that there's nothing like a gig. It's not, you can run the marathon, but you go and do a gig. The next morning, you wake up, you think you left your.
I mean, do you ever look at Zach and say, "I need about a 10-minute guitar solo"?
I have done that in the bus.
You know, I just need to go use the bathroom real quick. Could you play a little bit longer?
You know, my wife eventually got me to go for singing lessons because I was singing okay sometimes. My voice would go all the time. And this guy told me some techniques to save my voice. Like, for instance, don't go through every track song one after the other. Let your voice cool down. Take your time. When you're ready, go back on, you know.
Is it interesting to be at that point in your career where it's all awards? I know you got a star. What? You got the VH1 Rock Honors, I guess. You played that, saw that with, I believe it was Heart, Allison Chains in Las Vegas, the VH1 Rock Honors. You guys came out and closed the show. You and Zach Wilde. Did you not get a star too in your hometown?
In Birmingham, and I got one in. That's kind of. I mean, the one in Birmingham.
Do you see like old relatives and people you knew?
Oh yeah, can I have that £5? You bought it off me? But you know, I mean, it's like people, everybody goes, "Oh, I know you," and I go, "Yeah, well, from where?
Kindergarten."
I go, "I've never seen you before," you know.
Okay,
but that one in Birmingham, the only thing, I wish my mum and dad had been alive to see.
Yeah, I bet they would have been proud of that. Yeah. And it's kind of cool to go, just to know you've come so far from home.
Oh,
and
yeah.
End up going back home, you know what I mean?
I said to Sharon just the other day, I said, because I'm only doing a film of my life, a movie. And I said to Sharon, well, are they still going to do it? She said, when you do your autobiography. But I don't want to do my autobiography yet, because I'm not done, you know.
Sure, yeah. Well, I tell you what, how hard is it to go back and remember that stuff?
Sorry?
How hard is it to go back and remember everything?
I mean, people go up to me now, hey, when you're too remotely crude, did you really snort a line of answer? It's very possible. Well, October 8th, 1979, I remember that.
Well, if you're with Motley Crue, you probably snorted something, that's for sure.
Yeah. That was wild, too.
I bet it was. They were pretty crazy. Ozzy, thanks for coming in. We appreciate it.
It's been my pleasure.
Absolutely.
I had a lot of fun.
Ozzy and Rob Zombie, Thursday night, Key Arena, by the way. Ozzy, just so you know, because of your tickets with Rob Zombie, we collected 38,000 pounds of food for the hungry in the Pacific Northwest.
I'm hungry.
Yeah, and you know. So, thank you. We appreciate that. We'll take a break, and headlines coming up.
Wow.
Damn! God, it's a long time ago, man.
Yeah, it's kind of weird to hear an interview for the first time in my mind.
Yeah, I don't.
That's serious.
I don't remember any of it. You don't remember the questions. You don't remember his responses. And it's weird because Ozzy's at the level that Ozzy was at. The only thing I really remember is him physically being in the studio and just sitting there going, "Jesus Christ, dude, we're talking to Ozzy freaking Osbourne."
Well, we thought we were going to have him for like 8 minutes. I know that because that was the allotted time, and he stayed for 23 minutes. So, again, the entire interview, we just played a segment of it, will be on the Odyssey app if you download our podcast. Mm-hmm. Listen to the whole thing. But I was just sitting back laughing on that. That was fun to listen to.
It was. It kind of enjoyable.
Like a fly on the wall. You know what I mean?
Even though we did it. Like, I have no record. You know, it's like when you get blackout drunk and then someone shows you a video of something you did.
Yeah, ooh, but
and
most of the time,
obviously, that's me, but I don't remember any of that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this was
none
much more
it?
Positive. Man,
no.
I swear to God. And it's,
not you either, Miles? You did most of the interview.
Not really. No.
All right.
We interviewed him twice. So, like, the next time we interviewed him,
he had
written an autobiography.
Yeah.
Correct.
And he had written a book. And I read it before he came in because I was going somewhere and it was in the airport at the bookstore. And I was like, I should read this.
I should read this, yeah.
And I, you know, that was the time we were talking about his just amazement with how New York pizza changed his life.
It absolutely changed his life. That's not a joke.
And that was one of the chapters in the book was him just talking about the fact that, you know, he never had pizza before. And so he gained like 20, 25 pounds in 3 weeks.
Yeah.
When he was in New York just shoveling pizza down his throat. He couldn't stop. He was eating it for breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Yeah, so it was the greatest thing you'd ever had in his life.
He couldn't get enough of it. So I know I remember some of that interview, but I don't remember most of the first one, I guess.
All right.
No.
Yeah. That was kind of crazy.
Yeah, but I mean, hey, that was cool to hear, man.
Okay.
I'm glad we got to do that.
We do have the 10 greatest Ozzy Osbourne tracks of all time coming up on Sit and Spin. Is Debbie on the phone?
She's me.
Debbie, are you there?
I'm here. Hello.
Hello. What's up, Debbie Levitar? Are you in? Are you way over in West Seattle still? Can you hear us?
I can even almost see you.
Okay.
Yes. I can almost see you. So Debbie Lippitz, you worked for Epic Records through what? Most of the 80s and 90s, I guess it was, when Ozzy was there?
From 1979 to 2012.
Wow.
So okay. From Blizzard of Oz, from his first solo project.
What is that like when they say, hey, we want you to work with Ozzy Osbourne? Because at the time, he's just the former lead singer of Black Sabbath and has a bit of a reputation. And do you go into it nervous? Do you go into it excited? Or is a little bit of both?
Well, you know, at the time, Ozzy was kind of larger than life. Well, he always was larger than life. So you didn't know whether to be afraid or, you know, to hide your children. You just didn't really know. But when you met him face to face, he was warm. He loved it. He loved promo. And you can't say that about a lot of rock artists. Mm-hmm. He showed us, really, how to do promotion.
Yeah. Well, that's pretty cool then. All right. And so.
But you were younger then, too. So you were at that age where you were probably. Were you running a little faster than Deb?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you got to call her out.
No.
Sharon was always in the picture. Sharon was always in the picture.
Well, sure. Yeah. Any memories that you have as far as just being on the road and anything crazy going on?
Well, you know, I will say all of them were memorable. Some of them were a little easier than others. But I do recall once, right before one of his big tours, a lot of times when bands start new tours, they hang out in the city before just so that they could, you know, practice for their grand tour. So Ozzy was going to be doing one of his big tours, and it was going to start in Seattle, but they were practicing in Spokane, Washington. And just at about that time, we had we released Mama, I'm Coming Home, which really brought Ozzy into a whole new level. I mean, you had pop stations, top 40 stations, wanting to play this power rock ballad. So I said, yeah, I couldn't get to Spokane. Can you send Ozzy, please, over to the top 40 radio station over in Spokane? Here's the address. So I thought, oh, this is great. This is going to help me out. And about 2 hours later, I get this livid phone call from Sharon Osbourne saying, Debbie, you sent us to the middle of an aerobic class at a dance studio. I had given him the wrong address. And, oh, my God, I suffered for that for a week. Within moments, you know, I was kind of hoping, okay, you know, we'll just keep this between us. But she had gone all the way to the top. The president of Epic Records called me and said, Debbie, is there something you want to tell me that happened? And but then I had to hang out with them for the next 7 days and take them, you know, to do promotion in, you know, Seattle, Portland, you name it. About seven more dates. So
yeah, Debbie, we're live.
We're live.
Because I knew I was going to get my butt reamed. Yeah. I knew she was going to hand it to me, and so was Ozzy. So for the next seven nights, anytime we were backstage in their presence, like Arnie Foster.
Ah! Hey, Debbie.
That was one of my not most memorable moments.
Hey, Debbie, can you hear me?
I can.
Okay, we're on the air, so you can't use the S word or the F word.
Oh, I can't say S-H-I-T head?
No. You can't say that, no.
Okay, sorry.
No, you're good. Why? So basically, with this, was it that they would set up in the Spokane Arena and just do a practice run there before they actually came to Key Arena? So were they just using that Spokane location?
I think they did. That's what they do because, you know, sometimes you've got new sound people, new production people, you know, an extra backup singer. You never know. And, you know, let's face it, they pretty much do the same show every night. So you bands will park themselves and maybe their start is one, you know, their start date is in one part of the country that will end up, you know, in the northwest versus the southeast. So they just kind of gather there and start because it's a full production. I mean, it's not like one tour bus. It's probably like eight tour buses
right. That
roll into town. But I will say that Ozzy had a special place in his heart for KISW. It was a real win-win situation. I think that KISW treated Ozzy like the god that he was.
Why wouldn't?
And same with Ozzy really making KISW look good. Because a lot of these guys, again, didn't really love doing promo.
Yeah, we've met some of them. Yeah.
Yeah, we have.
Debbie, wait, isn't it?
I'm picking him up.
Go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was back to the starting out. Didn't it always seem like he started his tour here? I mean, just the way it worked geographically.
I'm serious. I think you are right. And don't ask me why. I have no idea, except for the fact that, you know, he was our favorite son. I mean, everybody here just adored him. And he would do anything for KS7. He did Bob's Garage. I had to pick him up at Bowling Field. And the rule was, when you see him, make sure you give him a quad espresso. He needed a little jump start before he would speak on the radio. So not one quad espresso. You had to have one to hand to him, and then one when he needed it again before you opened up the mic and he started talking. So, yeah, because, you know, it just took a while to get him going. But once you started going, he'd go. And then I remember saying to him on that visit, "Well, Ozzy, just tell me some of the new music that you're digging, or what are you listening to these days?" He goes, "New music." He goes, "I don't listen to any new music. How else would I sound like Ozzy Osbourne if I started listening to other people's music?"
Yep.
He had a great sense of humor.
That's awesome.
And I remember when he played. We did an install with him where they don't perform, but, you know, thousands of people came to Kmart in Renton when there was a Kmart in Renton.
Kmart in Renton.
Kmart. Yeah.
Wow, that sounds like a hot spot.
Just to sign albums, you know, because that's the way it used to be. You would make your money off of albums and then tour to support the album.
Yeah.
Now it's really a little different. It's quite the opposite.
Talking to Debbie Lipitz from Epic Records. Debbie, how did you take the news today personally, just as a human being and someone who knew him?
Just a moment of sadness. I mean, he was just a sweet man. He was sweet, and it's these are my peers. So I'm very sad, but this guy sold 150 million albums worldwide. He was very successful, and I'm sure you've read everything, but, you know, Ozzy just did it his way. He did, and he loved it. But the whole persona of eating, you know, the head off of a dove and breaking the neck and eating the head off of a bat, you know, that was all show.
Yeah. All right. All right, Debbie, looking forward to a beer. Sad, we'll get a beer one night.
You're lucky that was it.
Hey, Debbie, thank you for coming on, man. We appreciate it. Don't be a stranger, okay?
You guys are the best.
Thank you.
Oh, thank you.
All right. Let's see here. More with Ozzy Osbourne. Sit and Spin coming up. The 10 greatest Ozzy Osbourne tunes of all times. And a couple of emails coming up next in the men's room at KISW.com.